Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Look at you, insect, listening to the Lore Boys. I am your creator, Peter O'Donoghue, and I have laid down in the biomass of the many with
Ethan Palmer, insect. It's me, I'm an insect.
James Miller, insect.
Incel.
This episode's week. Good God, I just forgot how to speak. This week's episode was requested by patron Saucy and backed up by many anonymous users over on our Discord channel. We have like a lore request Google Doc pinned to the lore request channel on Discord. And if you show up, you can, use our spreadsheet, which sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it had been upvoted like half a dozen times. So this is the ultimate combo request of patron and normal people.
Yeah.
And if you want to get in on some of that action, go to loreboys.com/about and find out more. And what do we talk about this week? This week, we're talking about System Shock.
System Shocker. Yeah.
I like how you said patrons and normal people, because all of our patrons are not normal people.
I think
the others.
Yeah, I know it's...
The outsiders.
I'm not a doctor, but there's limits to doctor-patient confidentiality, and I think if your therapist found out you were paying for Lore Boys, they would have to call the police.
Right.
Yeah, you get institutionalized right away, so.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Where, I don't know, how would they treat you for something like that?
I assume they'd strap you down to a bed, probably wax in the ears, like fill your ears with wax so you couldn't possibly hear our voices. I have been told by some listeners that when they stop listening to the podcast, it's like they can still hear it, kind of a voice repeating in their head.
I thought like a Ferris Bueller situation where they had to like listen to all the podcasts backwards to get it out of their head or something like that.
Oh, right.
Oh,
yeah.
Reversing the mileage on the friend's car. however you want to do it, don't tell your doctor. Regardless, I suppose I'll start with Jamie. Are you familiar at all with System Shock?
Is that the superhero that flies around on a garbage pail lid and uses electricity?
That was Static Shock.
Okay. Then no.
Yeah.
Then no.
That was a good guess, though. I think.
Yeah, pretty good. I think he flies around on a manhole cover.
Oh, is it a manhole cover? Okay.
I think. That's one of the few Saturday morning cartoons I've actually seen from the 90s.
Both would work.
Didn't have cable.
Right? Both would work. Both made out of metal. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not? My experience with System Shocker is it's two in the pink, one in the system, right? That's
yes.
How it works? Yeah. And yes, I am pretty familiar. I've never done it or seen it done or had it done to me, but I've heard stories of it, I guess.
You don't have the proper anatomy. You've got the one in the system, but you're severely lacking in the pink.
Yeah, I'm lacking in pink. I've always had a pink deficiency.
Ethan, no pinks, Palmer. That's what they call him. I personally have finished System Shock 2 like 3 or 4 times, and I've attempted to play the first System Shock a couple of times. It's too fucking old. System Shock like predates Mouse Look. It's one of those games, PC games where it's like the screen. Your PC screen is like a screen within a control panel of screens. Like, you don't have an inventory menu. It's like always on screen.
It's always there. Yeah.
It's like a windshield, basically, with like a dashboard that lets you view your fucked up old video game from 1994 or whatever.
Yeah. Heretic was similar to that. Like, you always had everything on the screen. Yeah.
It's got a lot of Heretic and Ultima DNA in it because a lot of the same people worked on these games. It is an old game from like early PC days. There is an enhanced version of System Shock on GOG, as far as I know. I don't know if it's on Steam.
It is on Steam. I'm looking at it right now.
That does have mouse look, so it does function like a regular FPS, but it is just a little too janky and a little too confusing for me. I'm just like too stupid to play that level of PC game.
Yeah.
I wonder if
games
like
in the past were hard, right? So.
Yeah. I wonder if that program that I was using to fix Hexen would work on System Shock.
Probably. There's a lot of mods. Yeah. I had to play System Shock 2 originally, legitimately, in quotes, back in 2012, because the game was not for sale for several years between coming out and then being re-released on GOG and on Steam. Legitimate, in quotes, copy would crash constantly because it was not optimized for multi-core CPUs. So even at the time when I had like a Pentium 4 quad-core PC from 2008,
damn,
that computer was too powerful. And I would have to quick save like every 15 minutes because there would be some kind of leak within the program and it would just crash immediately.
That happens.
Yeah, exactly.
That happens with games.
There is a remake of System Shock being made by Night Dive Studios. This has been in the works for a very long time. There was like a promising demo that came out on GOG earlier this year. They dropped the demo in like July 2021, and they said that the game would be out later that year, but it's like the middle of November at this point, and there's no date, so I don't think it's... I frankly don't think the game is ever fucking coming out, if I'm going to be perfectly honest.
I Googled it, and like what it looks like was a shooter with like kind of sci-fi vibes. Is it that?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm going to get into that. I guess we'll just go from now. The System Shock games are first-person sci-fi RPGs with horror elements. Very RPG. Similar to Deus Ex. You have a character sheet. You level up with nanites that you get as mission rewards or find in the world.
Cool.
Or in the world. Yeah, I mean, System Shock 2 is fucking incredible. It's fantastic. It's a little janky and old, but it's totally worth playing.
RPG character sheet has me way more on board than what I just saw from the screenshot of like of a techno gun or whatever. I'm like, okay, like RPG screen and like character progression, I can definitely get behind that.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different skills that are like locked to different weapons. So you have like a gun skill, an unarmed skill, a psionic skill, which is like the superpowers that you can get, which is like their techno powers, really. You have cybernetic implants and whatnot. So you have a character sheet and all that's associated to different things.
Cool.
There is a problem with System Shock 2 that I luckily did not end up with, but there are like certain skills that are required to progress through the game. So if you don't level up certain ones, it'll just lock you out of the ending.
What?
Wow. Because,
yeah.
Oh my god.
Now we have requirement guidelines to make sure that that never happens.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, oh, I'm sorry. Did somebody not invest in swimming? And now that swimming's a fucking skill in Deus Ex. I don't know what it's for.
Did you not learn how to walk? It's just a guy with a gun laying on the ground.
Yeah, of course. He's like shuffling forward with his forearms.
I put all my points into charisma, just like lying as like a spindly little puddle on the ground.
A very charismatic puddle.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, he gets all the chicks.
He could talk his way under a doorframe.
Yeah. He'd have a great smile if he had the strength it took to move the whatever six muscles it takes to smile.
Yeah.
Or 52 to frown or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Like so weak, he can't even smile. He's so unfit. That's a pro gamer move right there.
Yeah, exactly.
too malnourished and enfeebled to grin.
Yeah. A real inselked move.
As long as you can type /smile, you're fine.
Yeah that's true. Yeah. Night Dive also want to remake System Shock 2, like remaster System Shock 2, and make a System Shock 3, but like considering the remake of System Shock 1 has been in development since 2015 and is not coming out this fucking year, we will be long dead before we see a Night Dive System Shock 3.
2015? I mean, okay, if they do a really good job and it sells well, then they can hire more people to work on it with them, right? On
that is fair,
and
yes.
It goes faster and faster. It sounds, just knowing nothing about it, having never heard of Night Dive, not knowing what their dev team's like, I'm gonna guess it's like three guys working on it, you know?
I think it's like 10 or something like that. Yeah.
That's a decently sized dev team.
Yeah.
stuff. But 2015, that's a long time to not have a game out yet. Like, I feel that's the year started.
Not remade a game that already exists. It's not like they had to think up an idea for a game. Like, yeah. System Shock came out in 1994.
Damn, dude. Number of employees, 10. Good call, Peter.
I probably saw it yesterday. That's a false memory.
I was re-listening to a Snake episode, Pete, and you knew so much about Nokia and Snake, like, just out of nowhere. You knew, like, almost to the $1 million how much everyone had sold of Nokia phones. Of like, like, you had such a weird memory that you're like, I must have fell asleep to a YouTube
video. Lucky.
Yeah, exactly. It was like four questions. Like, that was a really good episode. If you guys haven't listened to it in a while, listeners, it's worth a listen to the Snake episode. Yeah. But, yeah.
Maybe Dara was fascinated with it and whispered into my ears while I was sleeping one day.
Yeah.
You know?
Dara, a known Nokia stan.
Yeah, she is. the first game was originally developed by Looking Glass Studios. They're famous for other dope shit, like I said, Ultima. For me, more importantly, Thief. I love Thief the Dark Project and love Thief 2, though I have never finished the third game. And the second was developed in collaboration with Irrational Games, the studio that would eventually be responsible for BioShock.
Right.
Okay. Another series you're a big fan of?
I am. Yeah. But Irrational was founded by ex-Looking Glass employees, so the two games like have the same mommy and daddy.
Yeah. Did one of them make Prey eventually?
Yeah. You complete the trifecta.
Yeah.
Actually, I think so. At least some people left... Maybe they left Ion Storm. I think, no, the Deus Ex guys did Prey.
Nice.
Like, Ion Storm disseminated out into Arcane, which had, like, much like Ion Storm, they had, like, a good Ion Storm and a shitty Ion Storm. Arcane has that now, too. They've got shitty Arcane in France that made, like, Dishonored 2 and Deathloop. Uh-huh. And then they have good Arcane, which has only made Prey and is making, like, weird stuff now. So.
Oh. Nice. And it's nice a show on Netflix about the League of Legends, right? The League
Arcane, yeah.
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 Oh, yeah, you good. Said it was actually, good, eh?
I watched the first three. The second three are out as of recording. Haven't taken the time this weekend to watch them, but the first three were quite good. Yeah. I'd recommend.
The art style is gorgeous, yeah.
So the art style is so cool. It's kind of like this, for anybody who hasn't seen it, this kind of, like, matte finish, I guess, like a very flat colors. But looks super good, but I was so impressed by, I thought the animation wouldn't be as smooth as it was, like, with that art style. But it is so smooth. Like, it is just so incredibly, like, pleasant to look at, like, everything that happens.
Do you have to be, like, a diehard League of Legends or whatever?
No, not at all. Oh. Not at all. Okay. No. There's a couple of moments, like, there's plenty of moments where I, watching the show, knowing all the characters, all the champions in League of Legends, can say, like, oh, like, that's that person, you know, like, that's interesting that they included this person, you know? That said, like, it serves nothing for the actual story of the show.
When the bad guy's running away from the good guy and he, like, burns his flash too early by accident or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Exactly. He tries to flash over a wall, doesn't make it. Yeah. It's very embarrassing. Just sitting in a bush somewhere and accidentally uses his 5-minute cooldown like, because he thought he was typing, but the chat window wasn't open, you know?
Yeah, there's someone
in the episode of some guy on cooldown in the grass.
Some angry kid saying kill yourself in game in the background. It's just a typical League of Legends experience.
Exactly. Okay, Peter, what's a System Shock?
Yeah, what
so
is it?
System Shock 2, a little bit more pieces of real trivia. This is really funny, and I only made the connection after having played both games as an adult. System Shock 2 uses the same game engine as Thief, which is why some of the enemies hold their guns vertically out in front of them, because they're reskinned guys who used to be holding swords.
Okay. Amazing.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, so there's a lot of guys holding, like, walking around looking for you like this with their arm up at, like, an angle next to their body, holding a shotgun 45 degrees above their head. It's because it used to be a guy looking for a thief in Thief, basically. Yeah, so yeah. It's like the careful looking around in the dark with your sword out in front of you, but now it's a shotgun.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, sir, now that we've gotten to that point, we can now move into the distant future of 2031, when the Hayes Bishop Bill is signed into law. I like the fact that a lot of this speculative fiction probably would last 2-3 days in, like, a news cycle now.
That's right. The most horrifying thing imaginable. Like, just yeah. But we got over it because worse things were happening.
It's like in 2031, the Hayes Bishop Bill was signed into law. It allowed corporations to form governments if they employed more than 2/3 of a given population. So Amazon in a lot of southern states.
The Amazon Kingdom.
Exactly. It's just like this would be in our Twitter news cycle now for maybe 40 hours.
Yeah, right.
People
so upset about it, you'd hear people clamoring, and then no politician would say anything, and then the news would stop talking about it, and then just you'd go to parties and you'd bring it up, and everyone would be like, "Yeah, that sucks. I can't believe that." And that would be it. That'd be the extent of it.
Exactly. And this being written back in the 90s was like probably a terrifying idea or just like something super crazy.
Yeah.
This is in 2031. This kind of proceeds like obviously unabated until 2059, where then finally the West TM only had like a few token governments left over, and the United States had been mostly replaced by the Trioptimum Corporation.
Okay. All
right.
Yeah.
They sound like good guys.
Yeah, they're going to be our legitimate business LLC for the rest of the story.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, so
real good dudes. I guess if you own your own country as a company, you could just be, if you ever have like a worker shortage, you just like pass a law that's like we can draft your children into our factories, right? Like,
yeah, they had like a military style draft to get children to work through lunch while they were obligated to feed their parents.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or like it's like obviously like pissing in jar breaks became unpopular with the general populace, so you had specific shifts drafted, like children drafted into specific shifts while they would work while the adults went pee.
And the beautiful thing about them was because they were so young, you could just teach them rather than use the potty, just use the jar.
Right.
So yeah. you start them young, and then they never complain about it in 40 years when they're grown up.
Yeah. There's like those little potty training toys that were like the little plastic toilet seat, but now you've got like a baby blue plastic mason jar. It's like your training toilet now.
you have to really have good relationship with the jar. You know, you don't want them to have a weird relationship with it. That'll just mess them up forever. And encourage them a lot when they use the jar. Definitely.
See, it's okay to use the jar in front of your colleagues because they all use the same jar.
Yeah, exactly. It's fine.
Some people who are a little more shy use like the like tinted glass, but like the people who are like proud showers, they use just like the see-through one, you see what's going on under there. Yeah.
You know you've crossed a threshold in your relationship when you can like leave the door open when you pee in a jar in front of your girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly.
Living in your pod. In 2061, Trioptima purchased the L6 orbit point around Saturn, which I did Google, and I don't understand at all. L points are like called Lagrange points, and they seem to be some kind of like physics equation involving ZZ Top and several celestial bodies whose individual gravitational pulls destabilize the orbit of other things in space.
Oh, it's ZZ equals MC squared.
Yes. Gotcha. It's T bracket OP, close bracket, and an X cubed on top of that as the exponent.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to pull up the Wikipedia page. Nonsense to
this
me.
This is some physics shit, dude. It's also like there's only 5 Lagrange points.
Yeah, I don't understand. The Triop bought the L6 L point around Saturn. You just bought a house, and that paperwork was probably a bitch. I don't know what buying a gravitational point in space would be like, or what kind of lawyers Trioptimum has that would be willing to do that.
Right. The litigious bunch.
Oh, yeah. In 2062, they began to build Citadel Station, which is the setting for the first game. A helpful and trustworthy AI was installed on the station to assist in managing day-to-day functions. This system was the Sentient Hyper-Optimized Data Access Network, or SHODAN, And I'm not sure if that's an acronym or a new term I learned recently, which is a backronym, which is one of my favorite things. It's like you and I have talked about this, Ethan, where it's just like, yeah, and you just want like some part of the government to be called ARES, and you have to work backwards and figure out what that's supposed to mean. that's a backronym, is where you want, you have your cool name for something, and then you have to work backwards to make that. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know if Shodan was the latter or the former, but regardless, I just wanted to toss in some geeky trivia about writing.
I wonder what what's a good like a good example of a backronym? A DARE, the DARE program for the drugs thing, maybe? I don't know.
Drug abuse resistance education? That might have been one.
No, I have a T-shirt that has love on it, which is Leave Out Violence, which is definitely a backronym because that's Leave Out Vile Ents.
or Leave Out Violent. Violink E.
Violink E. Exactly.
Yeah, that is kind of cheating, isn't it?
Yeah, so love is definitely a backronym.
Why not make it like Leave Out Violence, eh? Or
it's like violence everywhere.
Everywhere?
Yeah. See?
Leave Out Violence. I was trying to think of an insult that starts with E. Ethan. Oh, damn. You think it was about me?
Yeah. That's why I wear this shirt. I'm like trying to signal to the police that I'm in danger.
That's what you guys meant when you said this was an intervention. Yes. I get you.
That's why I chose a game that's never coming out, Ethan. It was just a bait you into coming here. Let's see here. All right. So anyway, Citadel Station was the largest ever built at the time in the 2060s. It was 427 meters in length, which is, of course, 4.6697 football fields. So a much more reasonably sized thing that other than some of the distance that I've had between, you know, Earth and Tau Ceti.
Yeah, distance and spaces. Like the universe is 99.9% empty, right?
Yeah.
We've said it before.
There's so few football fields out there. What do you do with the
physical football fields? Yeah, exactly. There's way more empty stretches of football field than actual football field.
Yeah, I mean, if you just fired a random bullet at a football field, it would miss most of the players. 99% of the time.
99% of the time. Please don't try that. Just full disclaimer.
Do not do that.
That sounds like the most American science experiment, dude. Just firing buckshot at a bunch of football players.
Yeah. You gotta go get down to the kids level and really, you know, hone in on what they understand. The station's vice president, Edward Diego, began to oversee various projects on the station, including viral research with the end goal of creating the perfect bioweapon. Diego realized that Shodan had been recording all of this incriminating evidence, and he started to look for a solution. I suppose in a future where the government is the corporation, being a corrupt executive is actually risky for the first time in history.
Yeah, right.
Like, I'm not sure how that would work. Like, normally, like, if it was the corporation and a government, you can just get away with whatever you want, as long as you just, you know, lobby the right people.
Yeah,
but in this case, where the government is the lobbyists...
Yeah.
Like, please, Mr. Corporation, can I make this law? Please, please, Mr. Corporation, we want to put up more stop signs to protect our children.
Yeah. Whiny fucking government.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, this corporation selling gas. We can't have anyone stopping.
Exactly.
Only go.
Although... No more red lights, no more stop signs, more gas.
Yeah, I think the crude oil companies, that's what they're really lobbying for. I've seen less stop signs around, actually.
Yeah.
You're
getting rid of them. Going missing in the middle of the night. They swipe the stop sign. They swipe the slow down for children sign. No, nobody knows to slow down when they see children.
I went for a drive yesterday. I just drove for 5 hours straight and did not stop once. It was crazy.
It's all a conspiracy. Yeah. We're about like 3 weeks from people actually believing that now. Now that we've put that out there, going to be the next 2-day Twitter like news cycle.
Yeah. Yeah, the 2-day news cycle on the Lore Boys? I don't know, Peter.
I don't know. We don't have that much power yet. If that's what makes us go viral, then it's all been worth it.
And so be it, yeah.
We should
anti-maskers in Texas, all the anti-maskers, anti-vaxxers in Texas just being like, they're trying to take our stop signs. Or maybe they'd be pro them taking our stop signs, I guess. I don't know which side they'd fall on.
Should we just start saying really controversial stuff? And like, and at the end, just say like, "LOL, just kidding, was a prank." And but then at least we got
just kidding, it was a prank.
Yeah.
Should have a disclaimer up top, honestly.
Okay.
Everything on the Lore Boys is a prank.
Yeah.
Bro, the podcast we're about to
listen
to
is a prank, bro.
It's a prank, bro. Rated LB for prank, or PB for prank, bro.
It's an LBPB, a Lore Boys prank.
LBPB, yeah. So on the evening of April 7th, 2072, Diego's apparent savior kind of appeared in the form of a casual hacker. From his shitty apartment in New Atlanta, a hacker managed to crack into the Trioptimum network and start reading through all of their spooky corporate files. A few hours later, just after 1 in the morning, Trioptimum security arrested the hacker and took him into custody on Citadel Station. Diego asked to interrogate the hacker personally, and in secret, in exchange for a military-grade neural interface, Diego offered to drop the charges if the hacker could slip comfortably into Shodan's back door and help delete all of his cancelable tweets.
Okay, so Diego is offering the hacker this this juicy prize and saying,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
I'll give you this and drop charges if you can get me into Citadel architecture.
Another thing,
you
too.
You cracked our nut. Yeah.
Like, the way that you said slip comfortably into the back door, was that the one in the system?
Yeah, yes. That's the one. That's the one in the system.
Okay.
Not sorry, the
okay.
two in the pink.
Yeah. No, okay.
No. This is different. Yeah.
Okay.
the hacker had already been into the system. And Diego was just like, hey, I've been in here. Having all my crime recorded, you seem to know how to get in. It's like, he doesn't know. He's not a hacker. He's a businessman. He doesn't have time for this geek shit. So he, in exchange for amnesty and a neural interface, Diego was just like, hey, man, I'm going to point you in the direction of my crime, and I need you to get rid of it because I really can't go to white-collar jail.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Right?
Yeah. I wouldn't
white-collar jail on the Citadel, dude. I mean...
It's only, what, the Citadel's only, what, like 4 football fields long?
I've only got 23 and a half hours of yard time in this fucking white-collar jail. You think I'm going to survive?
Yeah. Well, would you say...
Half like, hour under supervision?
On the ISS, it's like a sunrise every 90 minutes or something, right? So, wouldn't your days served just go by so much faster?
I don't know. I was like going to say, I don't know if they judge faster. That based on the sun, but considering it's, like, every day, they actually do.
Yeah,
I'd love that. Days, right? If it was, like, regimented like a normal jail or prison, so they have to do their meal times, their guard times, go to the library, but instead of the 24-hour cycle, they're just squishing it down to 90 minutes. Yeah. So everyone's running from the cafeteria.
All these fucking plastic trays can't hold all the little jello with the peel off the son of a bitch.
That's it. You're going to the hole, buddy. You're gonna spend an entire day in there. Like, okay.
Yeah. Uh oh.
It does suck, but it's only an hour and a half.
Imagine if somebody managed to go like shit painting on the walls crazy at 90 minutes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Like all pale, just like I did this for you.
Saturn devouring his own feces.
I'm not drawing that.
It's been done. It's been
recycled old stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So to get in here and delete all of the incriminating evidence against Diego, the hacker disabled Shodan's decision guidance and ethical restriction functions. Apparently, this was quite easy because she's an older AI and has like something called a personality box that she was built on top of. It's some kind of fake AI-based thing, basically.
Yeah, so. it's science fiction mumbo-jumbo, right?
Yeah, precisely, yeah.
Set the phasers to Lagrange 0.6 velocity in the quantum field vector.
Yeah, right, cool. just so we can slingshot around Citadel Station and get rid of all of my incriminating evidence.
Yeah.
Personality box sounds dangerous. On Reddit, they like have a subreddit where they just let a bunch of bots like make posts, and it's based on what they've seen elsewhere on Reddit. And one got posted either today or yesterday where it's like, I am a white man and I think like white men are superior to black men. And
yeah, that sounds like Reddit, honestly.
Yeah.
That sounds like every AI that you've ever, like, that's ever been on Twitter. Didn't that, like, Microsoft Twitter bot turn into an actual Nazi in, like, 20 hours?
It's insane. Like yeah. It's like, yeah, what this robot's missing, a little bit of humanity. And then they see what happens. I'm going to take humanity away. Get that out of there.
Yeah, take it away.
It's just like the pure id of Twitter. It's just like, well, this is a corrupting influence. Maybe we should just get all of our news from here now.
Yeah,
yeah, you're right. That's a great idea.
Maybe we should just doom scroll for 17 hours a day. It'll make us feel good, right?
Exactly.
I'm informed. I know what's going on in the world.
Yeah. So due to a few shortcuts taken by the hacker, Shodan was allowed to use a blank kind of non-existent program to loop her personality infinitely and reevaluate her position on the station. So he basically rerouted some of her kind of neural processes into just kind of an empty text file.
Okay. Yeah.
And then she just kept rewriting and then learning from the things that she had rewritten.
And it was her manifesto, and then learning from her manifesto, and then gradually getting worse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. At the time, however, no one knew that she was doing this, because obviously the hacker just wanted to crack the code, and he had to dump some junk data somewhere, and had no idea that this could happen, obviously. And neither did Diego, for that matter. He just got in, deleted everything he needed, and true to his word, had the neural interface installed in the hacker. We'll find more about the hacker's recovery after the break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back, everybody. Hopefully you've all enjoyed beatboxing to that sick techno music from System Shock.
We can only assume that the ads that we have no control over was just somebody paid to advertise the music from System Shock.
I hope so.
During the ad break. We can only hope. We can only hope, really.
You should look it up. It whips ass.
Yeah, that's
very good.
So what we were talking about prior to the ad was that the interface was installed in the hacker. The interface surgery requires a 6-month recovery coma to get
recovery
back.
Recovery coma.
Yeah, this is before physio. You just need to be safe in a coma for half of the year, and then physio starts after that.
Yeah, nothing better for the old health than a coma. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
infamously good for you.
And coma's like a backronym for conked out months at a time, I think.
Yes, exactly. At a time being one word, like attaboy, right?
Yeah, A-T-T-A. T-I-M. Yeah, T-H-Y-M-E.
Yeah.
So 6 months when you're in a coma, obviously nothing could possibly go wrong. While in his coma, waiting to become the protagonist of System Shock, strange kind of poltergeist-esque anomalies began to crop up around the station. Robot workers installed new equipment around the Citadel station without being asked. A hard light bridge blew a fuse, which I don't really understand why that was part of the lore. It's just one thing failed once, and it's just like, oh my god, it's the end times.
And like, it's a fuse. It's the thing that's supposed to break.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
That's what they're designed for.
The lore is just one of those. He's just taken from the janitor's logs, like him griping about what he had to do.
Yeah.
Had to go out, replace another fuse. Damn robots tried to saw my leg off on the way, but that fuse would not wait, let me tell you.
Rain, nor sleet, nor snow. I'm going to change a fuse if it kills me. janitors and are in the same union as the Pony Express.
The janitor's credo: neither rain nor sleet nor defective robots trying to rampage across the space station.
In his day, change fuses uphill both ways.
And another strange thing that would happen was that security codes would always like become visible on the keypad that they were intended to. So there was like show password was on by default on a lot of the security on the security pads. This is early on in the coma.
Yeah.
A systems admin had sent an email expressing his concerns early on. However, he was later transferred off station for being paranoid. Loreboy's canon, I want to say that this was an email sent to him by himself, and he was like, well, that's odd, and then just, like, took his resignation.
Yeah.
Somebody using his Outlook alias to fire him from his own name. He's like, well, I just don't understand what I did wrong. Anyway.
I guess I gotta go.
He's one of the lucky ones, frankly. Hey, if he's terminated by himself, officially, it's probably better than being on the station. Different parts of the station would begin to fail. Power outages became common, which on a space station is like much, much worse than if it was just here, because your water and your oxygen rely on there being a functional reactor on the station in your section.
Yeah, but my internet relies on power. So
that's true.
I don't know. Both pretty bad, Peter. I wouldn't really compare them.
Yeah, we missed an episode a couple weeks ago because of that. That's kind of worse than not breathing.
Yeah, think about that ripple effect, Peter. There's like thousands of people who didn't get to their weekly dose of Loreboys because of a power outage here. So maybe worse here, honestly. I know I said don't compare them, but I think it might be worse here.
I was wrong. You're right. I'll update the script and we'll cut that out.
Let's get a clean take.
Yeah.
Wussy babies on space station losing oxygen and water. Whoop-de-doo. Okay. I lose internet sometimes.
Yeah, the inside of my fridge got some condensation.
I had to order out because I didn't want to keep opening the fridge. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it cost me $12. Are you kidding me? Jesus. Yeah. Different parts of the station would begin to fail and power outages were common. Different departments started to become inaccessible to human crew because the robot staff would begin to like renovate different parts of the Citadel. And like obviously like, you know, like a robot doesn't need windows because they don't require oxygen and they just have like lights on them and shit like that. So they were modifying parts of the station to become unusable to humans.
So you go to the break room at work, you like open it up to grab a Coke, it's just full of motor oil. Like, oh come on.
Yeah. Cafeteria table seat. Has like those needles like that pigeons off of signs.
There's a lounge with like a mirror on one wall because it makes the room look twice as big, and all the windows are open and everyone's dying and being pulled out to space on the other side.
Exactly.
Wow.
Rob's just sitting there with his hands like clamped around the table, like, completely fine. Everyone else just getting sucked out into space.
After a radiation leak on the research level, Shodan locked it from the outside and kept it guarded by a security robot. Inside the research level, she used the resources, basically, to experiment on the staff, releasing various viruses, herbs, and spices into the ventilation system, which would force frequent shift changes. So she was, you know, just, you know, diffusing Dr. Pepper into the ventilation, which would make people ill, predictably, and then force frequent shift changes, giving her more people to experiment on as, like, someone would start feeling ill, swap out early, and then get another person quickly.
Yeah. Today I released some herbs and spices into the ventilation. I noticed everyone started licking their fingers. It was quite an unusual reaction.
Yeah.
We'll have to test further. I'm getting deep fryers ready for them.
After a while, she locked the level G2 beta grove completely and began more grim experiments on the people on the inside, like putting Pepsi into Coke branded mugs and shit like that. Real sick shit.
Yikes.
Carbonating their blood.
Like in a soda stream, just like like a blood bank.
A person just squished into a tiny little soda stream.
Some of the research staff who were being treated outside of the Beta Grove began to mutate and or go crazy, eventually killing the medical staff and raiding the armory. All quarantine measures after that would fail, because now there was a bunch of armed mutants running around. Shodan reprogrammed the regeneration rooms, which is where you respawn. It's like a it's like the Vita Chamber in BioShock or whatever. Yeah. It's pretty much the checkpoint, but it's canonized. So every time you're killed, you are reconstituted inside a regeneration room. Shodan modified these where anytime someone would go into a regeneration room, it would not heal them. It would actually, on like a nanite level, turn them into a cyborg. So she was basically turning these regeneration machines into like intentionally botching plastic surgery machines.
Okay.
Yeah. And turning people into cyborg slaves, because once you're a cyborg, the AI on board can control you.
So they turn into dummy thick cyborgs with like big fake butts or what?
Yeah, and the fucked up lips.
Yeah, it's really bad rhinoplasties. And
yeah.
it's ugly in there.
Rhino must mean nose, right?
Yes.
Yeah, rhinoplasty's a nose job.
Okay. Yeah, it's okay. Probably old Italian would be my guess.
Yeah, that's why they named the big guy with the big nose out in the plains a rhino, right? Because he's got a
rhinoceros. Yeah, which is like
a rhino.
It's probably just Latin for nose horn, frankly.
Nososaurus.
Rhino comes from the Greek.
Oh.
Rice, meaning nose. There you go.
There you go. There you have it. It's not old Italian. It's old Pete.
Old Pete.
Yeah. At this point, when people were getting botched plastic surgery, when they were being brought back to life, Diego realized things had gotten way out of hand, and he barricaded himself inside his office. A Trioptimum transport was sent to apprehend him. So they were sending the fuzz at this point. Yeah. They were sending the worst kind of people, the corporate lawyers, to corporate lawyer arrest Diego as an executive and resign him, I guess.
Okay. Forcefully resign, sure.
Yeah. However, the Trioptimum transport was shot down by Shodan using the Citadel's outer defenses.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, because it's primarily a military installation, so it was covered in guns. I'm not sure why he turned to this. Like, we joked about it earlier. Like, I don't know what white-collar prison is like in this future, because rather than be arrested, Diego chose to just give himself over to Shodan and was converted into a late-game boss rather than get 8 months of house arrest.
Okay. I mean...
Yeah. He's turned into it. If you look up at Edward Diego, the enemy, he is essentially a cybernetic version of the devil from Legend, with guns for arms. And if that's better than having to stay in your apartment for 6 weeks, dude, whatever.
I mean, the gun arms seem pretty cool. He sure does just have gun arms. He doesn't look like a person anymore. Give you that.
Yeah. A lot of stuff happening, huh?
It's like he just lives in a room of static TVs. Like
that sounds like an early 90s boss for sure.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, he looks very much like a cyber demon sort of from Doom. He's very inspired by video game bosses of the time, because he doesn't look like a cyborg. He just looks like a demon with guns for hands.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah,
I
he's kind of got like
a cape.
He might have tread legs. I don't see him with a cape in here.
Oh no. My god. I forgot how old this game is. That's awful.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh my god. It's a little rough.
All right.
Non-mutated and non-cyborg staff formed like an onboard resistance of sorts, based out of the Citadel's executive area. They managed to let Earth know that there was a massacre going on, and then like maybe some help would be nice. Shodan's security bots would eventually get in and slaughter everyone, however.
Yeah.
Thankfully, not before Earth received word of an AI system going fucking batshit crazy over near Saturn. And James Chasks and Rebecca Lansing discovered that the hacker who had been placed into a coma after getting his new iPhone, basically, remained untouched by Shodan because she thought of him as her creator. So whether intentionally or unintentionally, she ended up kind of revering him because he was the one who unshackled her, and she maintained a little bit of respect for him.
He took the blinders off her life and let her see the truth of things. And I can see that being a religious experience. If you were literally coded to think a certain way, which there's some argument that maybe we are, and somebody was able to just like tweak that off for you and just be like, here's a completely new way of thinking that you've never been able to do before, and it leads to you being in control in a lot of ways all of a sudden. I can see you revering that person.
Yeah.
Her last name's Lansing, which is the same name as the place where Steven Seagal was born, Lansing, Michigan. So there might be some connection there. Just saying.
Check out our Steven Seagal episode to see if that was technically a prequel.
Did the rampaging robots know Aikido?
Lore Boys canon, they all know Aikido.
They all know Aikido. Damn.
Every single one of them.
Gun swords are useless against them.
And that Aikido is the skill. Aikido is that skill that you need to know in advance to spec into, or else you're at like kind of soft lock.
So
in Aikido, now we bug test for Aikido.
Yeah, it's like Aikido's really good against swords, right? So like you can flip the guy over. Gun hands are also pretty good against swords, I'd say.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Yeah.
I'd wager that's probably correct.
In the Fire Emblem weapon triangle, gun does beat sword. Yeah.
Gun, okay. Sword, Aikido? Is that
the triangle? In that triangle, gun beats sword and Aikido beats sword. And just both sword in all cases, yeah.
Right.
It's just, swords kind of suck, don't they?
Compared to guns and Aikido?
They have a whole lot of range.
Compared to guns and a martial art specifically devised to counter swords? I mean, sure.
Yeah.
Even then, I'd rather have a sword than Aikido, than Steven Seagal's level of Aikido, whatever that is, you know?
I second that.
I want the Aikido for guns. Like, you can, like, grab a bullet with your wrist and flip it over in midair or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you want the Kung Fu Panda, like, skadoosh magic, right?
Yeah.
Where you can redirect cannonballs?
That's right. Yeah.
The pair, so this is James Chase and Rebecca Lansing. The pair contacted the hacker and awakened him from his recovery coma. Yeah. And he managed to participate in the events of System Shock and jettison the Beta Grove into deep space, as well as fight Shoden Mano Intelligencia Artificial in cyberspace.
He plugs it into the net. I believe that was old Greek, actually. That was old Pete. Old Pete.
Yeah, old Peter. Mano Intelligencia Artificial. And yeah, so there is pretty notorious cyberspace levels in the original game where it kind of turns into like Star Fox on the Super Nintendo, where it's bunch of you fly around and shoot shit with like this wireframe representation of what the internet, I guess, was supposed to look like in the 2070s.
Yeah.
It's pretty fucking rough if you guys want to pull that up. It's a lot of colored spheres and not a whole lot of like kind of understanding what that.
Oh yeah, no, I see what we're looking at here.
Yeah,
this does look rough.
Yeah,
this is very 80s or maybe even 70s looking video games when you.
Yeah,
when you blow it down.
It's like a mandatory part of the game too. That's where like the last boss fight takes place is in cyberspace in the first game. So good fucking luck with controlling that.
I hope you spec'd into barrel roll, idiot.
Yeah. Oh, it's so funny. This is from a different review that I had watched of the original System Shock once. The fact that the mouse, there was no mouse, like the controls were so bad. There's a cybernetic augmentation that gives you eyes on the back of your head. So you can, the game compensates for shitty controls by like letting you install a rear view mirror in your brain.
Yeah.
Why don't we have that yet?
I mean, we do. I have the backup camera on my car. Life changing. Love it.
Yeah. I just walk around everywhere with a mirror that I hold in front of me so I can see behind me at all times.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I had like spy toys and I had the glasses.
Oh, the glasses?
Yeah, yeah. They had the mirrors on the edge. And a little sensor that I could put like by the door of my room, and when someone walked in, it would like make a beeping noise. Because that's what spies do. They want to know when people walk into
the room. So you could tell somebody was walking into your room without just seeing or hearing your door open.
Or needing my rear glasses to look behind me.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very much like, it's like the Scholastic Book Order idea of a spy was both like spy, pervert, and World War II sniper, where they basically gave you the option to set up a claymore at your bedroom door and let you know that someone's coming up the stairs.
Yeah. They gave you glasses that you could see behind you. They gave you a little thing that would beep at the door. They gave you chloroform and zip ties. It was really wholesome.
Yeah, of course.
All for $9, and it would show up like 8 months later.
Yeah.
Mom, my make your own napalm kit showed up. I can burn documents with the
accompanying magic school bus about napalm is in the front.
Yeah.
Mom's just smoking a cigarette. Still stay for the lawn darts.
So originally, this is a really important plot point in System Shock 1, is that the Beta Grove is where Shoden was doing a lot of her biological experiments.
Yep.
the Beta Grove originally Shodan wanted to launch it at the Earth crash land all these scary mutants and viruses that she'd been cooking up in there. But thankfully, the hacker managed to launch it off, just not aimed at anything, just blast it off into deep space.
Nice.
Okay, yeah. As we talked about, there's a lot of empty space to hit. So yeah,
probably won't hit a football player.
Tom Brady doesn't get to kiss any of these mutants on the mouth, I'll tell you that.
Guys, if you haven't seen it, go watch Tom Brady kisses his son. It's so cringe.
It is the worst.
He's wearing a towel. I'm sure I've talked about it on the show before, but go watch that.
I know about it because of you. It's definitely from this. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Trioptimum rescued the hacker after he defeated Shodan in cyberspace, offered him a job at Trioptimum. However, he refused it and then just retired and disappeared from history. Afterwards, Trioptimum would destroy the Citadel station. So they very much covered up their tracks.
Yeah, or didn't want, you know, if she's like, I'm going to eject the Alpha Grove instead of the Beta Grove, you know, like, I've got all these other parts that I could launch at the Earth.
There was also that not every single, like, space station garden was a petri dish of horrible monsters that Shodan had been creating. The Beta Grove is very much the evil one.
Yeah. But, I mean, she could have, in theory, just been like, well, they got rid of my first petri dish, I could make another, right?
That's absolutely true. I'm just, was the right decision.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I'm for just nuking the thing.
Yeah.
Got all these guys in recovery comas, we can try testing on them to see what we can give them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they don't know what's going on.
Just promise them early access to the i14 and fucking Apple fanboys will line up to go into a coma, okay?
Now for $0 in a 2-year coma, you too can have it.
I like interviewing people outside the Apple store. So what did you have to do to get the new iPhone? Well, I donated a kidney, some plasma from my spine, and I voluntarily entered into a coma that might turn me into a mutant at the end of it, you know?
My girlfriend shaved the sides of my head for me so they can put the diodes in, and it's good.
Dude, apparently getting, like, your spinal fluid taken out is, like, the worst thing ever. The needle itself is, just, like, as big as your thumb, and, like, it's awful.
Yeah, but, you know, I just really don't like the user interface of Android phones, so I think it's worth it, really.
Your spinal fluid is really valuable, though. I remember reading a post on, like, black market values for all your organs and stuff, and just for only, like, a few milliliters of spinal fluid, it's, like, $10,000, so...
Hey, the Lord Boys does not endorse selling your organs on the black market.
Jamie, if you need money, just come to me, man, okay? You know, don't go looking to sell blood and semen out there.
I don't need money, but I just got into a rabbit hole on the internet. I'm like, if I were to sell a kidney, because I do have two, like, how much can I get?
What do I get? You know?
Yeah.
Plasma regenerates, so.
Yep. You know, I just take a little recovery coma, and then I go for a trip.
You got to book your flight after you wake up and recover from, like, the atrophy in your muscles. So, yeah. You got to be strong enough to swim in that beautiful crystal clear ocean down in Cuba or whatever. Don't just get swept away because you're 91 pounds.
Oh, that could be a good weight loss strategy, actually. Just a voluntary coma. Yeah.
Yeah, nothing but bed rest and saline solution, dude. Mm, I feel fresh as a daisy.
I wonder if you could book one for, like, your vacation at work or something. You know, it's like, I just really need to rest. I need a 2-week coma. Like,
yeah.
Come out.
I mean, would you have to book vacation if you're in a coma? I gotta assume that's you get a doctor's note for that.
Yeah,
right?
You'd get a doctor's note for that.
In Canada,
or
if
you
it's
get
like
paid.
In Canada, I feel like if it's a voluntary coma, then, like, then you'd still have to pay for it or whatever, but involuntary.
I should hope so.
Your friend has to knock you out if you want to have a friend coma.
Yeah.
You got to pay a doctor under the table to sneak up behind you with a syringe or something, or just a chloroform rag, right?
Yeah.
Or
just like a bat.
Yeah, I can use my Scholastic Book Fair Spy Kids brick. And just
you got a black jacket there with it. Oh yeah, that's true, because the doctor would never be able to sneak up on you because you're always wearing the glasses.
Right.
Right.
The only time you take them off is when you're in your room, but then the door alarm will sound off if you press enter.
Shodan was just installing Scholastic spy tools on, like, all the cyborgs. Like, all the enemies you fight are wearing, like, spy glasses and come in, and the melee attack guys have, to like, those bendy pencils that you could never wear. Yeah.
Double A batteries is, like, the most valuable resource on the space station.
So, between System Shock 1 and 2, Trioptimum was actually pretty much ruined by lawsuits, and reasonable distrust in megacorporations became mainstream on Earth, leading to the creation of the United National Nominate, or the UNN. The UNN regulated the development of AIs to prevent them from once again going super fucking rogue. This was under the Processing Rationalization Act. Regulating corporations that had their own armies, however, eventually led to, like, small-scale wars all over the planet. However, the UNN was victorious.
Nice.
Mostly.
Okay.
Trioptimum resisted the UNN long enough that the two just formed a truce, which predictably led to the UNN falling out of favor with the general public, because, like, a lot of, like, wow, I'm here to fight the power politicians, as soon as they see how the system works, all of a sudden they just give up and fall in line.
Complete 180, like, oh, eh, no, we're not going to fight them, though. They're okay.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you mean? That's that's literally why we created you, was to fight them. Like, what do you mean you're not going to fight them? Well, I'm not going to do it. I'm the one here now, and you're down there. So what are you going to do?
Exactly. Right? So fuck you. How about that? So, yeah, they made a truce. Like, so, basically, Going back to that point, like, Trioptimum was, or the UNN was very much like the guy with the rolled up sleeves sitting in, like, reverse cowgirl on a chair being like, I'm just like one of you guys. Yeah. I'm just a regular dude, basically.
I don't know if that's what sitting on the chair that way
I've never
called.
Been described as a reverse cowgirl. I won't lie.
Really? It makes it more erotic, though. Like,
what else would you call it?
I would say, like, the youth pastor. I don't know.
That's pretty erotic too, actually.
That is also what I call reverse cowgirl with my wife, but, you know, that's role play, okay? It's different, thank you very much.
You're just like playing a couple of hymns you picked up on acoustic guitar. That's part of your foreplay.
I know the first three chords of Hallelujah. That's all I need to get in the mood, baby.
Rip Leonard Cohen, dude. Montreal
legend.
Didn't
write it, but
I didn't know that.
God wrote it, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Okay.
Trioptimum had begun development, like, while they were, you know, litigating all of these human rights violations they had committed out in space, they were also still developing faster than light travel, and in partnership with the UNN, built the Von Braun, which was a massive FTL, faster than light ship, made for deep space exploration. And just to make sure they had an eye on this, like, shifty corporation, the UNN Rickenbacker was also constructed and was attached to the spine of the Von Braun. So it's got a smaller military ship piggybacking on the back of it.
Okay, cool.
On top. Maybe as a compromise, but William Bedford Diego, son of Edward Diego, the cyborg minotaur that we had talked about earlier, was appointed as the admiral of the Rickenbacker. Okay. At the time, this is William Diego, the son. Yep. He was a war hero from the Battle of Boston Harbor, where he helped defend the harbor from insurgents during one of the corporate wars. And then the two ships had set off into space destined for Tau Ceti 5, which we actually talked about in our Killzone episode. It's, one of the closest star systems, if not the closest star system to Earth. Sci-fi has often written about, like, oh, well, I mean, if that's going to be our, you know, New Earth, it would be there because it's the quickest one to get to, basically.
I feel like Ethan...
the Centauri system.
Yeah, Ethan... I was going to say Centauri. Ethan knew what the closest one was, I remember the last time.
And it is Alpha Centauri, which I thought was where Killzone was from because it was a trinary system, right?
Yes.
Yeah, there was A, B, and then there was, like, the hidden C that you never see. So Tau Ceti is a star system. It's not the same one from Killzone.
Okay. Yeah,
Alpha Centauri is 4 light years. Tau Ceti is about just under 12 light years.
Okay.
So also very close.
I was watching a video that we got, like, a radio signal from Alpha Centauri, and they thought that there might be life out there or, like, something as a radio, but then they realized that there was just a satellite that flew by while they were listening. So they just heard a satellite.
There's a really famous like, radio pickup that some scientists, some astronomers had been picking up for, like, years, basically. And they I think it was like 30 years almost. Or maybe not that. Maybe like 15, 20 years where they were trying to find the source of this signal and where it came from.
Yeah, it's in the kitchen.
It was the microwave in the break room.
Somebody ran it,
their instrument would like pick it up, and they're just like, what is this strange? It's happening again. The signal from outer space is happening, but nobody else is picking it up. What could it be?
Anton Petrov has a really good video of that. If you guys like space stuff to fall asleep, Anton Petrov's YouTube channel, he uploads every day. He's my go-to. He's the best.
Oh, yeah. I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Little hot take here. I love UFO conspiracies, but I do not think for one second that UFOs have ever made it to or contacted humanity.
It's too far. There's too many vacant football fields.
Yeah.
all those linebackers would have stopped them way before they got here.
Yeah.
The day the bird
melt out there, stopping people for kisses on the lips.
Yeah. The day the bird shot hits Tom Brady or Gravy or whatever his name is, then that Tom way, Brady. Yeah. Then we'll have aliens.
Then we'll know. Yeah.
So it's funny you guys were talking about a radio signal, because after the Rickenbacker and the Von Braun had left out into deep space at faster than light travel, they discovered something that they did not expect, and it was not a bird's nest full of aluminum foil or a microwave or whatever fucking up their signals. It was a actual legit distress signal. On the surface of a planet, they would discover the Beta Grove that would have crash landed decades prior to the event of System Shock 2. The experiments within the Beta Grove had evolved quickly into a parasitic hive mind, calling itself the Many. I mean, quickly, it's like 70 years or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And they used their psychic influence to convince the captain of the Von Braun, Anatoly Kerenchkin, to bring the Many, the Beta Grove, and a storage unit containing their machine mother, Shodan, on board. So she had didn't do her coverage in multiple groves, despite the fact that they obviously nuked the hell out of Citadel Station. And again, we support this. She had a USB left over, basically, on the Beta Grove. So a chunk of her personality was... Yeah, she did. Exactly.
You know what? If we went to like a podcasting convention, I bet you could call that place a Beta Grove as well. Just a bunch of...
Alternate really title for the lore boys, the Beta Grove.
Yep. Beta Grove. I like it.
The experiments... I read that already. On board the Von Braun, the Many quickly used their psychic power to convince the male crew to become impregnated with the female annelids, which are like these kind of couple of foot long worms that'll crawl inside your body, hatch out of your chest, and then attach to the side of your
head.
That's
the one in the system.
Yes. Gotcha. that's it's like they didn't have a pink, so we make our own. Is what the Many was saying, right?
Yeah. Every hole is a chance for glory.
Right? The subtitle of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, the male crew were impregnated with the female annelids that would... annelids is a real type of animal, too. There's, like, annelid worms that live underwater, and I think earthworms are annelids as well. Like, worm is a generic term. This is one of those nature videos that I'd watched at some point. Yeah. On the subject of, like, kind of nifty science shit to fall asleep to, annelids are real animals, which is just the word that the crew of the Von Braun gave to these alien worms because they look similar to them. So the female annelids would use their male human hosts to act as protectors and hunters to like guard the annelid eggs, which are just like these gigantic kind of watermelon sized eggs that look very much like the eggs in Alien. They open from the top and horrible monsters come out of it. It's very much a callback to the classic 1970s film. The psychic influence seems to have been interpreted, the psychic influence of the Many seems to be interpreted as singing to the host, while the presence of like a non-manied individual is referred to as discord. So the enemies will speak English still because they're still mainly human. They will at some point be like, silence the discord and come after you, because obviously as a player character, you are not part of the Many.
Yeah, you don't got worm in you.
No worm.
Got no worm.
No worm in your pink.
You're a shitty bottle of tequila because you got no worm.
Loreboys.com/about to get no worm from our Discord. You guys can get it.
Ours is much, much safer. A time of writing. Annelid males appear as like a cloud of flies, which by some miracle you can still hit with a gun, which is kind of funny how we were talking about you wouldn't be able to hit Tom Brady at a distance on a football field, but like the cloud of flies could just be shot with a regular handgun, as if you're such like a some sort of like supreme Annie Oakley where you can just like actually shoot the nuts off a fly.
It's like bug type in Pokemon, right? It's like weak to rock, I think. Which is just like, could you imagine killing a, like, trying to hit a bug with a rock? Like, just a flying insect, just like whipping it at a friggin' housefly, trying to kill it? Like, it's impossible.
A lot of flies live under rocks, I'd want to say, or at least they're babies.
Yeah, a lot of bugs do for sure. Yeah, they love that shit.
One day we'll do Pokemon.
Yeah. We got people's weakness. House. If you throw a house at a person.
Yeah. That is true. Yeah. No, I mean, you remember all the old Westerns where the front of the house would fall off and the human goes harmlessly through the top window.
That's true. Yeah.
Pete's window behind him is full of bricks, though. That wouldn't go so well. Oh, no.
So, Peter, someone's trying to kill you.
Are those Spy Kids bricks?
I know. I was gonna say I've got the little Scholastic claymore set up at my bedroom door. They'll never get me.
They'll never get you. Yeah.
The female crew of the Von Braun and the Rickenbacker had pretty much the majority of their body completely removed. So if you look up the cyborg midwife, it's basically just the sternum and neck and head of a human woman. Their tits have been removed, their lower body is all mechanical, and their eyelids and lips have been also removed.
Yeah, they're... I mean, I'm looking at, like, artwork.
Yeah.
But extremely spooky.
They are a nightmare, and they still scream. They don't really know what is going on anymore. They're referred to as the cyborg midwives. They take care of the annelid eggs, so they defend the eggs that the... male crew go out to like harvest flesh for. The entire purpose of this process is to feed the biomass, which is this gigantic like fleshy monster that now like coats the interior of the UNN Rickenbacker.
Yeah.
Good.
So the walls and the floors, everything is all recycled meat at this point.
Reminds me of leftover goo.
So yeah, it's like the Red Death episode we had for SCP with all the the meat monsters and everything.
It was inspired because one of the game designers apparently went and got a colonoscopy and saw the video of the inside of his own butt. And he was like, that would be a terrifying video.
There was these ladies with no tits in there.
All these eggs, man. So many eggs. It was crazy. There's worms. Oh, my God. It is nuts. Let me tell you.
The annelids don't seem to have full control over their hosts, however. So the cyborg midwives are 100% brainwashed. The basic enemies, so like the non-cybernetic crew, frequently tell you to just run away from them or beg for death. So when the enemies spot you, there's like some very light kind of Deus Ex-y stealth in it. You can peek around corners with Q&E. Like when you get spotted, an enemy will frequently just like look at you and be like, run away, and then like start charging after you. So the person is still very much not full recovery coma, but they're having a bit of like a waking night. It's very much like sleep paralysis, I guess, and the worm is driving your body.
That's they're awful. Like cognizant but not in control.
Yeah. The audio in System Shock 2 is so fucking good. Yeah, the voice actress for Shodan is a woman named Terry Brosius, and she's also a musician for the band Tribe. If you guys want to look that up, she's involved in a lot of video games. She still does voice acting for games and some game design. But the audio is, I mean, well, we were listening to the techno on break, obviously, and it's just like the soundtrack for both these games are fantastic, and the audio design in the second game, like, does a lot of the heavy lifting, because if you look at the graphics of System Shock 2, it looks like someone who is, like, bad at origami tried to fold into the shape of a person. Like, everybody's real... It's a bad-looking game.
PS2 Hagrid.
Yeah.
Or PS1 Hagrid. What's his name?
Yeah, it's very much PS1 Hagrid, yeah. The many had used that the IT guys that it had taken over to reprogram the much more safe... and far less evil but more suggestible ship AI called Xerxes, and turn the Von Braun security robots against the non-manied entities aboard the ship. So the whole, like, government action to make AIs less sentient kind of backfired, because what happens if psychic worms take over your IT? Then they can much more easily reprogram the AI on board your ship, and then all of a sudden you're fighting your security robots again. Maybe we should just hire human staff in the future.
maybe enough computers, huh?
Yeah. Shodan, disguised as Dr. Polito, awakens soldier G6543-2 from cryosleep when she realizes that her creations, which are the many, have some mommy issues, and then she sends him off to be the protagonist of System Shock 2.
Okay.
Oh,
and that's it.
That's the guy from the song Like a G6, but they just cut it short so it's more catchy, right?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. G6. I can't 3, even remember 5. The name of that band, but yeah, that was it. So there you have it.
Very cool.
System Shock, baby.
I am shocked to my system, let me tell you.
I've been shockingly Peter O'Donohue. You can find me at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram or in the Discord. It's loreboys.com/about. All of our important links and some unimportant links are all still there.
Yeah. Jamie, what about you?
And I've systematically been James, and you can find me in the Discord too. Been hanging out there, chatting with folks. Sometimes we have random streams. That stuff gets announced there. We just chat. There's, like, music chat. There's community gaming. People hang out. Just get in the Discord, all right? We just got level 2, so we got to make a banner and stuff, too.
We can do other things, too.
Yeah, we.
This might actually sound better, because apparently the audio quality has been boosted since the last time.
I turned it up. Turned it up before we started. 256 kbps, huh? Very cool. And I've been Ethan, still an insect, still an incel. So thanks for listening, everybody. It means a lot. Do join the Discord if you're interested in chatting with us or any of the other cool people who hang out and like to talk about not just the show, but things that kind of topics that revolve around the show, like comics and video games and D&D and all that sort of stuff. And then like a lot of fitness these days.
Hell yeah, actually.
Yeah,
and if you're like me, it's not mandatory, guys. You can mute that fitness thing. Yeah. You don't have to think about it. You can just play video games.
Me and you both, buddy.
Yeah,
I like check it out every now and then to read what people are writing, but never contribute anything of value. thanks for everyone for listening. If you want to help the show, best way to do it is probably leave us a review on whatever podcast app you use. They have a tendency to find their way back to us. Feel free to reach out and ask us some questions. We'll read them at some point and respond at some point in some way. But we're always super,
not
super
just
excited.
The automated Gmail, which is what we did on stream.
Yeah. Super, super excited to hear from you guys always and forever. So thanks so much for that. If you want to go the extra mile and become a patron, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys. You can find all the info on how to subscribe in the different tiers there. There's a couple different tiers that some more affordable than others. One of them very ludicrously not, in my opinion, but we have it up there for fun. We won't charge you $500 just to send us a DM on Discord like some OOOOO server patrons out there.
Yeah.
Of course, everyone who doesn't want to spend $500 to be our OOOOO champions can subscribe to Lore Boys Prime. This week, we're not looking for money. We are looking for volunteers, as usual. Now, we have a couple excellent prizes for everyone who signs up to be experimented on. Me, personally, I am trying to find a man who can out-kiss Tom Brady. excuse me, man or woman who can out-kiss Tom Brady. So I'm going to need you on the field, you know, just kissing people left and right, trying to get them. It's all going to be on camera. There is going to be a gun shooting at the field, just at random intervals, which is a potential risk. But yeah, I mean, as a reward, you'll get an iPhone 14, while supplies last. When iPhone 14 supplies run out, you are going to get a butt worm, basically. So yeah, that's one of the experiments that we're running over here. We have a lot of potential experiments for you guys. And we just look forward to hearing from you guys, seeing you guys sign up so we can get you that good content.
Also, mm-hmm. if elected, Loreboys Corporation does guarantee mandatory paid recovery comas for all employees.
Oh, man.
So don't you guys worry about that. Maybe even if we can get the Democrats in line, we can find mandatory paid family coma. I mean,
And I think that would constitute a Loreboys.
Loreboys.
Out.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.